Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 71st Venice Film Festival in the company of filmmaker Peter Hogendorn, who's presenting his film Between 10 and 12. Thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I think we should start off by telling our listeners a little bit about the story of the film.
The story is about two police officers who must getting bad news to a family that the sisters died at a car accident while they're doing their job. It's also, you know, there are police in a uniform, but they still human beings, of course. So it's not easy to tell, of course, a family that the sister's dying. And while they're traveling to the family, the camera is earlier to the first one who getting the news, a boy and his girlfriend. And you following them in their daily life until the police officers coming and all the bad news must travel through to the family.
It's really a film about tragedy striking in the middle of nowhere. Is that the reason why you chose to show everyday life before you show the news of the tragedy reaching the people involved?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also because I have a lot of fears in daily life. You know, when I'm going out bed to get some shopping, that I'm really scared. I'm of nothing. I don't know. And I also was fascinating about the idea of complaining in your life. And then I thought, if I am dying now, then I think for the 85%, I've done nothing or you know, not live because I was in fear. And why? There was no fear. Or to complain. Why to complain? You can live. And that idea, I thought, because it's a real-time film, of a real-time feeling, that I wanted to show the ordinary life to get more the feeling that every second your life is gonna change. Every moment is the possibility that you can see the cars coming because you know that their daily life is going to interrupt.
The unpredictability of life, that kind of factor. Actually, before we get to the way it was filmed and the way it was conceived, I was wondering about the nature of the characters, particularly the characters of the policeman and woman, who seem very real. We get to see their conversations, even snippets of conversation, even after they tell the news. One of them asks, "Was I good? Did I say it right?" The realism of the characters, was that important? More human, I guess.
Or more, human. That was yeah.
It's to the point where like the imperfections of humanity show naturally.
Yeah. But also, I talk with police officers who did this job, of course, and the police officers that in the real life, that when my sister had died at the car accident, that the police arrived also. That I did some research, of course, and that for them it's also a survive. To, you know, the question of the police officer after he tell the news that his sister is dying and they're standing in the living room, that he ask his colleague, "Did I did it right?" Because it's the first time that he bring bad news. But it's also a survival modus to really tell yourself in that situation, it's your job, because you cannot involve too much with the emotions, although you cannot, you know, get them away, but
you can't distance yourself away from it.
Yeah, and that found it interesting because I thought, well, that kind of things make it a little bit, tragic comedy is maybe not a good word, but it is a sort of absurd to ask or something, that I like that sort of kind of things, because otherwise it's a really heavy film.
Can I ask you, where did the inspiration come from? Was it a personal film?
Yeah. It came from a real event that, I don't want to say autobiographical, because otherwise, you know, I had also a brother and, you know, but there are things that came from the real situation, that the police coming to my house, and I was there with my girlfriend, and the police telling me this bad news. Well, actually, it's the same house, because we found a lot of locations to film, but I couldn't get another location than the real location, so we get to the old house. And the old house was too heavy, because there was a totally other family who lived there now, because my parents get away at that house and they live in Portugal, and so now it's... So we get to the neighbors and to film there the situation. And also the workplace of the father, it's the same workplace as in the real situation when it happened. And the father takes the police officers to another room While he think there is not a lot of noise and there nothing, people come there in and out because it's and that's also the real location that it was in real life. So it's getting more personal than I thought. But
was this a personal project, or did you really want to share it with the audience as well?
It's a film, and we changed the perspective. Like in the beginning, it was the police officer. Then it changed to the boy as a sort of a main character. Then it was all the people are sort of the main character. And then we have all the people are main characters, but the empathy is shifting a little bit to the girl. And that I found really interesting because, of course, it's maybe not a traditional film, like, but she was an active person then.
Yeah.
And I really like that she was an active person in the little things. That what can you do as a girl in that situation? You can be there for the boy, and she wants to that he's close with him and to go with him to the father. So what do you say? You cannot say no, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, actually, the character of the girl too. She's not part of the family, but in some way, she's carrying a heavy load of emotional baggage on her shoulders. But I wanted to just as the last question in terms of the inspiration of the story. What are the difficulties of bringing such a personal story to life, especially for a first feature? I believe this is your first feature film. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So it mustn't have been easy on many levels.
Yeah, well, I think that when the tragic in real life happens, that I really get in a sort of birth perspective to see myself and the situation. But I think this is a sort of a survival modus. So from the moment of that the police bringing me the bad news, then I think that I already was busy to make a film about it. And I think it's also that I don't want to accept the real situation or something, that I want to do something with it. And of course I know that it's really happened and I don't have a sister anymore, but it's, you know, it's as if I want to do something with it, and it's difficult because you know that it's a story and that people are, of course, very hard, because if you don't like it, you don't like it, and you know, you cannot. So you really have to figure out and to have a distance to the thing you make and the real life, because you make a movie and you know you cannot make real situations sometimes in the film, because they going or pathetic, or they going, you know.
The narrative structure, the fact that you have it in real time, help with making it feel more genuine? And how did you film it? Did you film it in chronological order?
Well, we not film it chronologically, because because you know,
production.
But we rehearsal a lot, so because of the rehearsal, we could see the line where it's go through. Well, for them, it was I think not easy, because one of the police woman, she is a really more method actor, like the technique she used. And in my graduation film, it was really a handheld style of film, and you have a lot of freedom to do that. I said, do something what you feel, you know, it's everything is okay. And every take is also different. But in this film, it was quite difficult, because it was really the orchestra of timing, and when you, because the frames are still, so when is the time when you walk, and when is the time when you come back, and what is the time that you only hear some birds outside, or you know, there is a tempo that is really important to have the feeling of the tension of ordinary places, or so you cannot have the freedom to everything to do, because the framing and the movement between the frame is composed, and that is sometimes I had to say, well, do nothing, because nothing is also good. You have a lot of time for the audience to think, and if you are really play with emotions or do things, then you, as an audience, you're going to actively watch to what the actors do. But sometimes you have maybe just room to to think about yourself. What should you do in that sort of situation? Or maybe you can watch to the other side of the screen there. What kind of what is the chair of the mother you never met before? And what kind of woman is she? And you know, so you have time to. So that was sometimes a little bit difficult.
And
they do a good job. I'm really glad with them. Yeah.
And also, I admired the fact that the camera is very unobtrusive. Acting, by its definition, is meant to seduce the camera, but in some cases, it's meant to ignore the camera. And this was more ignoring the camera was even there, which is so the camera was very still in the film. That was also an important stylistic choice. But thanks very much for talking with us about it. Looking forward to seeing your next film.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.